Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway. On the phone is my co-host Charlie Goldsmith to break down the Bengals' upcoming matchup between the Denver Broncos, a 7-6 team who's also fighting for their playoff hopes. This has all of the makings to be an entertaining game, and there's a lot at stake here. Charlie, what are your initial thoughts on Sunday's matchup?
Well, after a second down call in overtime that's received a lot of attention all week, this feels like a Joe Burrow game. This feels like an opportunity going up against a terrific Broncos defense. We can talk more about that.
Yep.
An opportunity to test some of the Bengals' strengths. It's a strength-on-strength matchup. It'll be a real calling card for how much the passing game can level up in a huge game.
I think you're right. I think it's going to have to be Joe Burrow, and I think it's going to have to be Joe Burrow for the rest of the season. Every game's going to have to be a Joe Burrow game because it's hard to understand the Bengals' rushing offense. I think it was a little bit of fool's gold when we saw Joe Mixon kind of go off in the way he did. And I'm not saying that he's not effective, but the Bengals have proven over the last 2 weeks the offense goes through Burrow, and with the way T. Higgins is playing, I think, and we can talk about it right now, but this matchup against the Broncos is going to be a very good test for us to see just how good Burrow and this offense can be in terms of if they are able to make it in the postseason, are they able to play with some of these higher caliber teams, because the Broncos defense ranks number 2 in scoring. Patrick Surtain is playing exceptional for a rookie cornerback. They obviously have Justin Simmons, and then their head coach is known for being one of the best defensive coaches in the NFL. So we'll see how good Burrow and Higgins and Chase and Tyler Boyd can be, because they'll have a great test against his Broncos secondary.
What this game reminds me of is the Browns game. And the Browns game was notable because it was probably the only game this season where the Bengals wide receiving trio struggled. The difference here, the similarity is the Browns are probably the only team in the NFL that can match the talent and the depth of the Broncos secondary. They're two of the only teams in the NFL that can line up in man and truly match up well against the Bengals. The Broncos are so good that, you know, Kendall Fuller, a guy who probably would start on the Bengals, comes off their bench. That's how deep and talented their secondary is. So it's going to be one-on-one matchups that the Bengals have to take advantage of. And again, the Browns game was a negative moment for the Bengals wide receivers in those types of matchups. And this will be a chance to show how much has changed, how much the game plan has evolved, and theoretically, how much the run game can help mitigate some of that.
Yeah, and I guess from the good thing about this matchup in the Bengals' favor of it being a Joe Burrow game is, you could say the weakness of the Broncos defense without Von Miller is their pass rush. The Bengals offensive line isn't going to have to worry. I think this is the first game. Obviously, Bradley Chubb is a very good player, but this is kind of the first game in a while that their opponent hasn't had that, you know, A1 elite pass rusher that they have to account for. And I think that's a good thing, because they kind of need to reset some things from a protection standpoint, because Burrow has been getting sacked a lot and hit a lot more recently. And in order for him to kind of put this game on his shoulders, he's going to need time. And I know he's been exceptional, even if he doesn't have that much time. But I think this matchup bodes well from the Bengals in that regard.
So I'm curious what the Broncos will do, because like their strength, it's kind of think back to the strength of the Bengals defense in 2020 when it was playing at a solid level kind of there in the second quarter of the season. A lot of single high safety looks. Justin Simmons is incredible at that. And the reason that Jesse Bates was compared so often to him was because the Bengals used Bates effectively in a really similar role last season. So that's not the two high safety look that the Bengals saw against the Raiders, against the 49ers, sometimes against the Chargers. Theoretically, that could open up more opportunities for deep shots down the field, for wide receiver and one-on-one matchups. But then again, the Broncos quarterbacks are strong enough to where they haven't been giving up a lot of those matchups. A lot of this is going to come down to scheme and execution from the passing game in particular. And what we'll see on the field, what can the Bengals do against like competition at the unit that they built to build their strength at wide receiver versus quarterback? And do the Broncos correspond with that? Do they combat that with more too high safety, or do they just put more on Justin Simmons' plate?
To put into perspective how good Simmons has been this year, he has 5 interceptions. Jesse Bates only has 1, and I know it's been kind of a down year in terms of production for Bates, but Justin Simmons is the star of that defense, and I think Burrow is going to have to play a pretty clean, perfect game in order to come out of Denver with the win, because Simmons and Surtain have combined for 9 interceptions, just those two alone, and then you add 2 more from Stearns. That is 11 interceptions between 3 players. They are very good at taking the ball away in Denver, and the Bengals cannot afford a Jamar Chase drop that turns into an interception that turns into points, because Teddy Bridgewater, in my opinion, is not good enough to out-duel Joe Burrow. The only way I envision the Bengals not winning this game is if the Bengals do what they've done in previous games, which is come out slow and spot the Broncos 2 scores, or turn the ball over and give the Broncos easy points, because I just don't see it on tape with Teddy Bridgewater at all this season. I think he does enough to help his team win, but I don't think he'll be able to out-duel Joe Burrow. But all that is starts with the Bengals' ability to come out of a game and actually start a game fast. So we'll see if they're able to do that. Let's talk a little bit about the defensive side of the ball for the Bengals. No Logan Wilson again. How did you think the Bengals fared without Logan Wilson against the 49ers?
You know, I thought Joe Bachy was kind of the pleasant surprise of the entire game. At no point did he look like someone making his first NFL start. But most of his production came on early downs against the run. On third downs, the Bengals often used a dime type of look with Jermaine Pratt as the lone linebacker. They bring in an extra cornerback, mostly Trey Flowers, occasionally Vernon Hargrave before Ouzier left. And they'd use Von Bell basically as the one-on-one guy against the tight end. So that was the way they minimized the responsibility. They were putting on a linebacker making his first NFL start. I see that as a trend continuing, because it seems like the one place the Bengals do have some depth right now on their defense is their secondary. And overall, the one early downs especially, I thought the Bengals did an impressive job stopping the run with Pratt, with Sam Hubbard played a great game, and with Bachy.
Yeah, and the Bengals dodged a huge bullet, it seems like, with Trey Hendrickson, because I don't know. I think I might have turned a doc or someone in the press box. And when he was down, it looked like it was going to be a significant injury, because the cart was about to come out for him. He was able to hop up and walk off the field on his own. But I was like, that is the one player on defense they cannot lose, because he has been that good for the Bengals defense. And they need him for this stretch, in which is now all must win games. Charlie, when you look at the magnitude of this game, with both teams being 7-6, both teams being in the AFC, what do you think about the Bengals? Let's break this down. If they win, do you like their chances moving forward of being able to get into the postseason? And what do you think if they lose this game? Do you think it's over?
I think that the path to the playoffs ultimately runs through the AFC North, and there are too many pieces for me that are still moving to call this a must-win game for an AFC North title. Look at the advantages the Bengals have over a team like the Ravens, who have a hurt quarterback, plus basically their entire offensive line was missing in practice this week, plus their secondary continues to have injuries pile up. And then a Browns team that very unfortunately is dealing with the COVID outbreak. There are still too many pieces moving in the AFC North for me to think that ultimately it won't come down to the day after Christmas against the Ravens and week 18 against the Browns. I still see that as the path toward the playoff. And because those two teams are kind of struggling right now with some off the field issues, the season's not at stake from my perspective on Sunday.
I see where you're going with that. But for me, I think the season is at stake for this team starting with this weekend, because it's December now. Like, if the Bengals have talked all season long about the character of the guys in the locker room and why they're built to be able to overcome things, it's in the words of like Mike Tomlin, it's like put up or in shut up time for the Bengals. In my opinion, you drop two at home. You probably should have won at least one of those games. You went from being the number five seed in the AFC playoff picture to now nine. I think the Bengals have a better team than the Broncos in a lot of areas. I'm not going to say overall because like the Broncos defense is really good and I don't want to undersell that, but I think that we've heard so much about from Joe Mixon and, you know, Burrow about like this team being able to overcome adversity. They've put themselves in some adversity. And I think it's on players like Joe Mixon, Jesse Bates, Joe Burrow to lead this team to a win. And the Bengals have been good on the road this year. They kind of seem to play better when their backs are against the wall and they have to go on the road and really prove themselves. And I think they desperately need to get back in the win column. And then once they're able to do that, are they able to stack wins, something that they haven't been able to do? We'll see. But I think if the Bengals talk so much about what they want to be, they have every opportunity for them to be what they want to be in December, and it starts with a road win in December against a really good team that's also playing for their playoff hopes. So it has all the makings to be a really good game, but we'll see who comes out of there with a win, right?
Yes, so again, ultimately it comes down to playmakers, and I look at I put my focus on defensively, what the Bengals can lean on that side of the ball. We talked about the Broncos secondary, but this would seem to be a huge opportunity for someone like Jesse Bates, mm-hmm. or someone even like an Eli Apple or a Trey Waynes or a Von Bell, who are going to be those different makers as guys like Chidobe Awuzie and Trey Hendrickson battle through injuries. That's probably been the one thing missing from the Bengals overall this season. Those spark moments, from the depth on defense, I think that you need to be able to win a lot of different types of ways at this point of the season. And the Bengals haven't had a game yet where, you know, Sam Hubbard or Jermaine Pratt the Jermaine Pratt game week one where he forced the big fumble, but a Sam Hubbard or, you know, one of the other linebackers or Mike Hilton or another outside corner have been true difference makers, have been podium game guys. The Bengals, again, need to be able to win different styles of games. This doesn't seem like, for example, a power run matchup. It seems like a Burrow matchup. And defensively, this doesn't seem like the kind of game where the Broncos are going to allow Trey Hendrickson or Chidobe Awuzie to be those wild difference makers like they have been, because of both how the Broncos play and because Hendrickson and Awuzie have been dealing with injuries. So it's time and it's important that the Bengals find a way to be able to lean on some of the depth they have on defense.
Yeah, this game to me has all the makings to be a Jesse Bates game in terms of it was so close last week to being able to close that game out for the Bengals. And, you know, for him, he said the season hasn't been what he's expected for a multitude of reasons, but he talked a lot about Justin Simmons and how much he respects him. Like, what a better opportunity to make up for your whole season by making a play that's a make a difference play, game changing play that leads the Bengals to a very important win on the road. And knowing the way Teddy Bridgewater plays, he wants to throw the ball over the middle, those short completions. And he's also been very prone to turning the ball over. So I don't know. I have my eye on Jesse Bates in this game to keep an eye on. Other than that, for the Bengals, from a health standpoint, they've dodged a lot. Like I told you, Trey Hendrickson, the Bengals are optimistic he's going to be able to go. No Logan Wilson, but Chidobe Awuzie said this is his foot injury is going to be something he just has to deal with. So it sounds like he's going to be able to go. The other big storyline is how do the Bengals reset from a special team standpoint at punt returner. We'll see who they decide to go with, but fortunately for them, weather's not going to be an issue, so they don't have to worry about getting someone ready to go with potentially rain or snow coming down, which could be likely in the month of December in Denver. But that was a huge turning point in the game last week, as we talked about on this podcast. So what will the Bengals' answer be at punt returner? Charlie, quickly, who's your nod for if you got to make that decision, who would you put out at punt returner for the Bengals?
I think that it's worthy of a designated spot for someone like Trent Taylor, who heading into the season had returned five times more punts in his career than everyone else on the Bengals roster combined. But that's not necessarily the sense I get speaking and hearing from Darren and Zach and guys like that. So it seems like Tyler Boyd might really be getting an opportunity here. It seems like they prioritize roster flexibility for the 48 guys they have active on game day. And Tyler Boyd has shown them enough to step up into that role late in the season. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if they kind of buck their own trend and give a starter that shot really for the first time since Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, I think you're at a point where you can't really risk having someone else back there that you don't have full confidence in. And Tyler Boyd's got as sure hands on this team as anyone. So I'd agree with that. I think they give Tyler Boyd a run for his money back there. Well, that's it for Charlie and I breaking down this week's upcoming matchup between the Bengals and Broncos. As always, we will be back to talk about our post-game analysis from Denver on Sunday, so be sure to check back then. But now I'm going to bring in Jason Hoffman to talk a little bit about the upcoming weekend of games in the NFL. Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings, and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download USA Today Sports Plus from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus, fan harder. Well, Jason Hoffman and I are back in studio after a week of not being able to do this together, but we're back and better than ever. Jason, let's talk about how we've been doing over the last couple of weeks.
So we'll just start with last week. I like to get my failures out there in front of it, get out in front of it, unlike a certain former head coach in Northern Florida. Just get out in front of it, admit you screwed up. I am, however, going to lay blame on the fact that I had to record it by myself. And you were not there to bounce ideas off of.
Yes.
That's why I only won two games last week.
Well, that's what you're going with.
That's what I'm going with. Right? This is what what Mo Egger and folks were talking about on Sports Talk Radio yesterday was how shocked they were that Zach Taylor, after the overtime loss to San Francisco, admitted he screwed up and then admitted that it kept him up at night because coaches don't do that.
Yep.
So I'll just admit I screwed up. However, it's the fault that I had to roll solo.
He's done that. I mean, we can talk about that later, but he's done that a couple of times this season when he was talking about the clock management the week before. He said horrific
could
by
be,
him.
Could be one of the reasons the locker room doesn't give up on him.
Yeah.
So, last week was not good. The week before that was good.
Mm-hmm.
We got three outright underdog winners the week before.
Right.
And we went 5-3. So, 2-4 following 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
7-7.
All right.
Which, if you take the picks that we do where there's a little bit less juice in some instances and you get those better odds, you actually come out ahead in the money. But moving on to this week, we're in Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati, whatever you want to say. We're moving on. So a lot of interesting stuff this week with the complete disaster that is the NFL's COVID protocols, in my opinion, and their insistence on, I'll just stop right there.
Yeah.
But yes, COVID disasters all over the league. Seven teams have more than six players.
Yeah.
In COVID protocol, starting with our quasi friends up the road, up I-71, in there in Cleveland. They are hosting the Raiders, and they are now +1.5 against the suddenly a dumpster fire Las Vegas Raiders. What do you think of that game?
Well, Bengals fans are the biggest Raiders fans they can be right now.
Raiders and Chiefs.
Yes. But, I mean, who wants to watch that game now without Baker Mayfield and no Kevin Stefanski?
The type of quality human beings.
The Raiders is like – I knew they were going to do this. They do this every year. They start out 3-0 and everybody thinks, oh, the Raiders are for real. And then Derek Carr turns back into Derek Carr. And then they have so many things they need to figure out.
We'll never know because they don't have their actual coach.
That's true. But I think – I think the Raiders win this game because – the Browns will still have Nick Chubb, and they don't really need Baker Mayfield, to be honest. You could argue they're better when Baker Mayfield isn't playing. But
they stick to running the ball more consistently.
Yeah, I think that the Raiders win this game.
Okay. I agree with you there. Raiders are a -1.5, so you might as well take them on the money line
right,
to win outright. All right, moving on. I agree with you there.
We got some Saturday games to talk about.
That is a Saturday game that we just talked about.
Right. Patriots-Colts.
Yes, that was my next one. Do you want to leave that one off?
I went back and forth on that one for like a very long time.
Belichick's House of Horrors.
I so badly want to pick the Colts. And plus, I've been watching Hard Knocks. The in-season in like Frank Wright is just like an incredible leader. I think really highly of him. But the Patriots defense is just incredible. And they don't allow any points. And Carson Wentz doesn't really show up in big games like we saw against the Bucs and pretty much for all of his career. So I am going to stick with New England winning this game, even though it's on the road. I think they're favored 2.5.
They're getting 2.5.
Oh, right.
Indy's favored.
I think I'm going to go with – I think the people in Vegas are falling in love with, like, the hype of what the Colts can be and what they want the Colts to be.
Best front in both sides of the football.
You can't pick against Bill Belichick in situations like this, in my opinion.
So I like that a lot. I actually like the money line as well. Get you on the positive side of the money there.
Mm-hmm.
The other bet that I like in this game, and I have no idea why the over-under is so high, 46.5. I mean, I like what Belichick and Josh McDaniels are doing with Mac Jones. I don't see them scoring 30 points in this game, nor do I see the Colts scoring 30 on that – or 20, even no 20 way. On that defense.
Yeah.
So I like the under of 46.5. New England outright to win. I agree with you. One more, I think this is a Saturday game, Giants and Cowboys? Or is it not?
That's Sunday.
Okay. That's my next game. Did you have any other Saturday games you wanted to get to?
No, but I'm certainly going to be texting you during the Patriots-Colts game, probably changing my mind like 10 minutes before the game.
Very well. All right. Line that blew my mind this week.
Can I guess?
Yep.
The Cardinals at Lions?
No, you make that 15, and I don't care.
Oh, even going to come in off a short week?
I'm not betting that game, though.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't see how the Lions stay competitive in that game. Could be wrong. We're talking next week about them winning outright. Who knows? I'm staying away from it, but I don't see it being competitive. Line that confused me: New York Giants at home in New Jersey. By the way, the state of New York, New York City. State of New York has one NFL team. It is the Buffalo Bills. Please stop calling them the New York Giants. Anyway, the New York Football Giants, as Boom likes to call them. Getting 10.5, hosting the we don't have a run game and our quarterback suddenly looks shaky Dallas Cowboys. What in the world's going on with this line?
I know.
10.5 points. It makes me want to put an entire paycheck on it. And then I'm like, wait a minute. These people make a ton of money in Vegas to do this. They know something we don't know.
I would agree with you. Like, the line here is – it caught my attention because I agree with you. Like, the Cowboys aren't the Cowboys that we saw in week 2 and week 3. Dak is not playing well. And the Giants don't have – like, is Daniel Jones even playing? I've lost track. I don't even keep up with the Giants anymore because they're so irrelevant.
But they've played teams close.
Right.
And it's like 10.5, that extra half point, like, ooh.
Well, and the Cowboys, I mean, the Giants would love nothing more than to spoil the Cowboys season. And exactly. The Cowboys basically almost gave it away to the Washington football team, which can they pick a name? Because it's just a lot to say.
I say stay with the football team. But take Washington off of it. Either call yourselves the Landover, Maryland football team or just call yourselves the FT, the football team.
The FT, okay. But yeah, I agree with you. This game is wacky. The line is weird.
So I'm going to – just because my mind is blown right now, I'm going to say Giants plus 10.5. Laugh at me next week when the Cowboys win by 21. I don't know. All right, moving on. Speaking of teams without a head coach, the Jacksonville Jaguars are somehow still favored. I know it's the Houston Texans. They're giving 3.5 points.
I know.
I know it's at home in Jacksonville. Indeed. But they're giving 3.5 points to the Texans.
Who? The Texans have played a lot of teams very close.
Yeah, exactly. So, and Tyrod Taylor
yeah.
is, but I think, is a pro.
But I would like to see how much the line has changed now with the Urban Meyer stuff, because
10 minutes before we came in here, it was still 3.5.
Because typically teams, like we've seen it before in the NFL, when they fire their coach, they rally and they win that next game. And then, you know, it's like the Raiders did it
this year at Denver. Yeah. So I don't like that. I'm going to ride Houston +3.5 in that, just because I don't like that.
Okay.
And then I've got one more game before we get to the Bengals, my home dog of the week. Again, for those of you listening at home, home team getting points as an underdog. Monday Night Football. I'm riding with Justin Fields, who does not look like an NFL quarterback yet. Matt Nagy, who's going to get fired soon. Somehow playing the game of their lives against the Minnesota Fighting Mike Zimmers. Right.
I actually think that's a really good pick by you, because that was one that I was also contemplating. My home dog is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I like that. I like that.
And I think that they're going to win outright. Not only do I think that they are going to cover the spread, I think they're going to win outright. And I think I don't know if the Titans are any good.
No.
Because I don't know if Ryan Tannehill is for real. And then they still don't have Derrick Henry. And like, isn't this the type of game that Mike Tomlin's just like licking his chops for? Like, you know, it's going to be a physical.
I called a couple weeks ago when the Ravens were going into Pittsburgh.
Right. Right.
Like, it feels like that again, right?
Right. The Steelers just like, you're like comfy, ugly sweater that you just can't throw out because it just does its job enough, but you don't want to, you know, wear it all the time. So you don't want to pick them all the time. But like, this just screams to me a game where the Steelers win this game. So that's my hope.
I cannot at all relate to owning a quote, comfy, ugly sweater. Because I don't classify my clothes that way. It's what has too many holes and stains and what doesn't. But that's fine. Do you? I love that explanation. I hope that our
I don't know how that just that just rolled off my tongue. Hey, so we're just going it with perfect, it this morning.
All right. The men, as Paul Daugherty calls them, going out to Mile High.
Let's talk about it.
I've got a sneaky angle to this game.
Okay.
Bengals are getting 3.5.
Okay.
The reason I thought this line was going to be higher.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow's never thrown an altitude. Joe Burrow is, as we saw in the fourth quarter last week, when he's on, my goodness, can be the most lethal, accurate quarterback.
I put it in a story that'll be on Cincinnati.com today for our readers, but he leads the league in deep pass touchdowns this year.
It is live on Cincinnati.com. We alerted it at 9:15 this morning. But yes, perfect. Make sure you read Kelsey's story on that.
Who's driving down here?
Dude can be insanely accurate. I remember back when Carson Palmer, who to this day still throws the most beautiful football I've ever seen in person, and I've seen Aaron Rodgers throw in person.
That is a statement, Jason.
I'm just telling you. Aaron Rodgers has the most natural talent. Flick of the wrist, 60 yards, that's fine.
Russell Wilson throws a pretty nice ball.
I grew up watching Jeff Blake, who did what Russell Wilson does before Russell Wilson.
Okay.
So, moon balls. Top level of Riverfront Stadium, the ball was like eye level when Jeff Blake was throwing deep balls to Darnay Scott and Carl Pickens. Anyways, Carson Palmer, my opinion, threw the prettiest football I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember outside of terrible conditions that dude not throwing just the tightest, most incredible spiral you've seen. So, say all that, Carson Palmer had issues because the Bengals and Broncos back then were battling. And he played in Denver, I think it was like 3 out of 5 years or something like that. Carson used to have issues when he'd go there, and he'd have to spend extra time during warmups figuring out how to throttle back or whatever his footballs, because him and Chad had that connection, right? My fear is either Burrow's going to overthrow or underthrow Chase, and Chase is not going to be able to get to it or back to it. I don't know. Elevation, it's weird out there. I've played golf one time out there. And laughed because I was like, I would lead the PGA Tour in driving statistics this week.
I've played lacrosse out there. The air, I was sucking wind pretty hard after a couple up and downs.
I'm not that worried about their conditioning. Yeah. I worry more about the accuracy. So I thought this line would actually be bigger. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be around 6, maybe 5.5. So that being said, I like the Bengals +3.5 because when I call a line, an initial line, and it's more than a point or two away from the actual betting line. I'll go with my gut. I think this Bengals defense can shut down Teddy Bridgewater and that offense pretty well as well.
Teddy two gloves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I was at UC and we went down to Louisville.
Yeah.
And Teddy Bridgewater outdueled Munchie, I can throw
gosh, that was an iconic game.
Munchie, I can overthrow any human being that ever lived, Lego. Man, in the press box, they love, it's Teddy ball game. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, that was really annoying. But I don't see that Broncos offense moving the ball that well, which leads me to our next point. They do run the ball, which leads me to our next point. Over under 44.5. I kind of want to come in under on this. Mm-hmm. I kind of see like a 24-20 game, 20.
Well, Denver, that's smart because Denver's defense ranks number two in scoring defense. They don't give up a lot of points.
So I kind of I like the Bengals plus 3.5. I like under 44.5. Now watch, we'll finally get the 42-35 shootout that I've been hoping for all season long. As you're laughing at me, you are staring straight at me and laughing.
Teddy Bridgewater and Joe Burrow, I would be absolutely stunned.
Yeah, I know it's not going to happen either. But
honestly, you don't even have to worry about what another team's offense is going to do unless they're playing like Aaron Rodgers or something, because the Bengals, all of it comes down to them.
Yeah.
It's if they can start
a game.
Which
is why this season's been so weird.
Right. If they can start a game and score in the first quarter, then they're really hard to beat. But if they kind of, come out slow and have been lackluster like they have, then they are easy to beat.
So what do you think? Denver minus 3.5, Bengals plus 3.5, 44.5 over under.
I would agree with that. What did you say you were going to take them?
I'm going to take them plus the 3.5 points.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go under, even though it hurts me to do it, because I love betting overs and cheering for touchdowns.
I'm going to go under, but I agree with the plus 3.5 because I think the Bengals need this game more than the Broncos. And I think they've been good when their backs have been against the wall and they go into environments to win. It's when they're at home and they've won two games, they can't figure out how to string together a third. So I'd agree with that, and I would take the under as well because I think Denver's defense is going to make it difficult on Cincinnati's offense to score.
Now, one thing I want you, and I know Charlie's not here, but I want you and Charlie to promise our readers.
What?
On Twitter,
mm-hmm.
on Sunday,
uh-huh.
was it 4:05 kick?
Yeah.
Pre-game warm-ups.
You want me to go throw a ball?
That'd be fine too. I want you and Charlie to document. You don't have to get the video because kind of hard to predict when they're going to do this. I want to know how far Evan McPherson kicks from, because my guess is he can get there from the other side of the logo. I'm talking 65-yarder.
Right.
I think he can do it in that elevation, maybe even longer.
Okay.
So I need to know.
We can make that happen. I'm making note of that right now. Can definitely make that happen.
All right. Well, Kelsey, it was great to be back in studio again this week.
So much fun.
And I want to remind everybody out there that this discussion and our betting picks are only for fun. This is not professional legal betting advice or not professional betting advice. And all lines are courtesy of Tipico Sportsbook, tipico.com. And, Tipico is a partner with Gannett Company Inc., which is our parent company. And Gannett does make money off that partnership. If you or anyone you know has problem gambling, please contact 1-800-GAMBLER and have fun out there.